Praise the Lord, everybody. Let us turn to Luke chapter 4, and we'll read verse 16 through, we'll say 19. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Praise the Lord. Brother Lou, why don't you pray God's blessing on us today? Amen. Thank you. Please feel free to be seated. Today is June 19th, the federal holiday of Juneteenth. For over a century, it was largely unrecognized by mainstream America. In 2021, it was finally recognized and made a federal holiday. For those who are not familiar with the story, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation was issued in 1863, but it did not free all slaves. It only freed those slaves who were living in the Confederate States. It wasn't until the 13th Amendment was ratified in December of 1865 that slavery was abolished in the United States. Of course, a proclamation, even by a government, is only good if it can be enforced. And for the slaves in those 10 states of the Confederacy, the proclamation didn't change much in their lives unless they escaped. And so many of those slaves, though free by proclamation, were enslaved by the reality of the rebellious force in power. And for those slaves who were slaves in the Union states, they had no real prospect of life changing for them. So what was that? That was Proclamation of Emancipation in 1863, 2 years later, December 1865, this 13th Amendment. On a few months earlier in 1865, I think it was April 9th, General Lee surrendered his army of Northern Virginia to General Grant. On April 26th, General Johnston surrendered his army to Sherman. And on May 26th of 1865, General Edmund Kirby Smith surrendered his department to the Union forces in Galveston, Texas. And on June 19th of 1865, Major General Gordon Granger assumed command of the Union troops in Texas, and he posted his general orders there in Galveston, Texas. And the first two orders were administrative. You can see them in the National Archives. The guy's got great handwriting. And he declares his assumption of command, and he lists his staff in the first two general orders. And the third general order is the one that we pay attention to because it informed all of Texas that all slaves were free. And he says, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free." And he goes on to say, "This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. The connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor," and so on. And so basically he's saying, you used to be slaves, now you work for them and they have to pay you. And then he also says, "Now that you're free, we ask that you remain quietly in your present home and do the job that you were already doing just now for money. We're not going to support you at the military post, and we're not going to support you for not working." And so on that day, people in Texas who were free in theory became free indeed. And so many of us take freedom for granted 159 years after this event, but many are still held in bonds of a different kind, bonds of sin. And while we are free today compared to the slaves in 1865, there's another kind of freedom that transcends the physical and which touches the very core of our existence. And this is the spiritual freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ offers to each and every one of us. So we celebrate the 4th of July as the breaking, as breaking the chains of colonialism and freedom from the tyranny of Great Britain. And we mark Juneteenth as signifying the breaking of physical chains of slavery. Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ today grants us access to liberty and to the breaking of spiritual chains that bind us. So in Luke 4, 18-19, as we read, the Lord states, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, what it really means to be free in Christ Jesus, and how we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can share this freedom with those who so desperately need it. So the Bible says a great deal about freedom. It's not just about being free from physical chains or oppressive systems, although we remember that Paul did write a letter on behalf of an escaped slave asking that his owner release him, or at least treat him as a brother. So the scripture, while it addresses, acknowledges slavery's existence, never supports slavery. But when the Bible talks about freedom, it's not just freedom from those physical chains. It's not just freedom from systems that oppress and suppress. But it's about being set free from the things that hold our souls captive. So true freedom is freedom from sin, freedom from the wages of sin, which is death, and freedom from anything that separates us from God. The horrible thing about sin was that one sin was all that was required to create separation between God and man. And we each buy into that original sin throughout our lives and become sinners as Adam and Eve did. And it doesn't matter how freely you reign in this world, no matter how freely you wander or roam in this world, in the second life or in the afterlife, there is either the second life, which is life for everlasting, or there is the second death, which is eternal separate or everlasting separation from God. The Bible talks about that in terms of the bottomless pit. It talks about it as the outer darkness and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus himself talked about this spiritual kind of freedom. In John 8:36, he says, "And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So let's think about that for a moment here. Jesus isn't just talking about any kind of freedom. He's talking about the kind of freedom that is complete and absolute. Now, when he sets us free, we are truly and in fact free. We are free from the power of sin. We are free from the fear of death. We are free from the from guilt and shame. Now, he says, "This is free indeed." So not like the slaves who were free in theory, but needed the imposition of the Union troops to become free. When the Lord Jesus Christ declares us free and frees us, we are absolutely 100% free. So let's kind of connect that here. When the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, it took a long time for that to apply to even the people it was designed to apply to, right? It took, 900 days, I think. I think that's about right for the after the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect. 71 days after Robert E. Lee surrendered his army, 24 days after the Confederacy disbanded the military department that was over Texas. So there was a long time between the Proclamation of Independence and the enforcement of that independence. And this historical reality that somebody can issue a theory and it take a long time for it to take effect applies in our spiritual lives as well. Because Jesus declared long ago our freedom from sin and death through his sacrifice on the cross. But very often we still live as though we are bound by those chains. We sing the song, or we don't sing the song very often, but the song is sung about break every chains. You know the song, break every chain, 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 break every chain. And there may be other words, but who knows, because all they say is break every chain. But the idea is that every chain was broken. And yet, so many of us today are walking around carrying broken chains as though they were still whole. We are holding those chains together with our own attitudes, our own mindsets, and our own love for the bondage. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There comes a time in your life when you have to look at that sin that binds you and state, you do not bind me, I have been set free. You don't control me anymore. The Lord has broken the bonds that bound me. And then you need to live as though that were true. You have to make the reality real in your life. You have to apply it where you live. Right? And so many times we struggle with this. No, I don't have a choice. Yes, you do. You just don't want to do the hard work it takes to give up, you know, I'm going to use a strong word for it, but your addiction to your sin. Because it does take work. Liberty is not easy. Liberty takes effort. Liberty takes warring with yourself not to impose new bounds, new chains upon yourself. And so it is up to us as Christians to live in the liberty that Christ gave us. To set aside those broken chains and live in freedom in Christ. So Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Our freedom is not a legal declaration. What he's saying there is, this is not an empty proclamation from the halls of government, but this is the imposition where the troops come by and say, hey, guess what? The people who used to torment you, the people who used to own you, no longer own you. Amen. Hey, guess what? You're free to live now. Yeah. And this is, so it's not enough just to know about freedom. It's not enough just to say, I am free. We have to live out that freedom in our lives. We have to walk in that freedom. Yeah. And we need to allow that freedom to transform our lives and transform the way we think. You see, walking in liberty is not the same as walking in an area that is free from traps and snares. There are snares all over the place. and it is easy to walk into one of them. And then having been ensnared, it's easy to think, oh no, this is a chain that the Lord hasn't broken. But he who the Son has set free is free, say it with me, indeed. There is no snare that can hold someone the Son has set free. There is no new chain that can bind someone whom the Son has set free. So what happens is we see the bond, and we think we're stuck. You all know the story about how an elephant, when he's an adult, is held captive by a little rope on a little peg stuck into the ground, right? And the way, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a great illustration for a sermon. When the elephant is a little baby, they take a big old rope and a big old peg, and they, you know, slam that thing into the ground so the elephant cannot escape. And the elephant learns that as long as there's this rope tied to my leg and it's attached to something into the ground, I'm stuck. And so by the time they're fully grown and can easily walk off without ever realizing that there's something attached to their leg, they're still held in mental bondage by this little peg and little rope. It's the illusion of bonds. It's the illusion of chains. Because that elephant can just wander where he wanted. You know where a 600-pound gorilla sits? Anywhere he wants to, right? Same thing applies with elephants. They'll walk where they want to. And so what happens in our life is that as we walk through, you know, through our daily whatevers, we end up doing something stupid, and we hear the twing of the snare, and we feel the tug on our leg, and we think, oh no, we're trapped. We're stuck in this again. How did I fall in this trap again? I knew better than to do this. Now I'm stuck. No, you're not stuck. You are free. You are not tied to that. There's this thing that God gives us called repentance. And we can recover ourselves in his blood, and we can march forward as free from that snare as we have ever been. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. So when we make him our Lord and our Savior, we are no longer bound by the things that held us captive. And we can live as children of God in his fullness of grace and truth. And so true freedom in Christ means no longer even being ashamed of who you used to be and what you used to do. Because freedom is forward-looking. When you're free, you don't need to look back and think, oh man, I used to be a slave. I know so many people who are trapped in their past. I loved my wife's grandfather dearly, but every time we talked, it was all about how he was raised in an orphanage and they didn't show him love. And it's true. And it was horrible. And he never got over it, though he lived to be 90. Every conversation wrapped back around his childhood. He was never able to set himself free from that mentality of, I'm an orphan who was treated poorly. It was tough. But I don't want us to live trapped to a past. Oh, that was it. You know, this church hasn't always been sunshine and wonderfulness. We've had some difficult times. We've had bad instances. But we can't keep looking back. I remember that time in 1983 when so-and-so, who's not even here anymore, said that thing and it made me mad. Freedom. Live in the freedom. Let the stripes of the past stay in the past. If he has set us free, then let's be free indeed. So when that wound starts to spark up again, what do? Do you go back and put that shackle right back around your leg and start dragging that weight around? Well, you know, bless God, I hate this place. No. Announce freedom. Yeah, that hurt. That was a long time ago. I thank God for setting me free. I thank God for liberty from that. And if you give that to the Lord, it says, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Give that to Him. Let Him worry about it. You know what? Wounds hurt. Scars still hurt. I've got a couple, you know, old injuries that I still know about. A couple days before my engagement photos, I was playing volleyball, and I landed on somebody's foot, rolled my ankle, and it's never been the same. It shouldn't be that way. I was supposed to be invincible. My body didn't get that memo. But, you know, I'd be sitting there fine, haven't done anything physically taxing for weeks, and my ankles just starts to throb. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember when that guy came under the net. He should have stayed on his own side of the net. Well, no. Yeah, I remember that. It hurts. I'm moving on. Right? We have to get to the place where we apply that attitude to our spiritual wounds, to those psychological things that kind of hang in the background that wants you to be tied to the poison of the past. But he who the Son has set free is free indeed. You can acknowledge the hurt, and then you have to give it to God. I am free from that poison. I am free from the bitterness. I will not respond as one who is a slave to that, because I am no longer enslaved by that. Because the Lord has set me free. And you may think it's stupid to talk to yourself like that. But there's a lot of things in my past that will get me really ramped up. And you don't want to be around me if I start playing in that little sandbox, right? And it's easy to start snapping chains back on and walk around with the grudge, getting ready to fight anything and everyone. And I literally talk to myself and I say, oh no, I'm not putting that back on me. I remember the weight of that chain. But the Lord set me free from that. And I'm not going to go back and put something on that He died to deliver me from. Can I get angry about it? I promise you, I can get angry about it real fast. I'm not going to, because the Lord died to deliver me from that. And so I am delivered from that. I will not resume the chains. I will not resume the bondage. I will not resume putting myself into that world. I will move forward in freedom and the liberty that the Lord has given me. And sometimes you have to tell yourself what to do. And sometimes it's the things you don't really want to do, because if you're like me, you like being mad. You know, it's like Hulk, right? It says, you know, How do you control when you transform? Well, I'm always mad. Yeah, if I could change into Hulk, man, this world would be different. But we like to be the victim. We like to feel justified and angry. But we need to move forward into the liberty that Christ has given us. Boy, I'm never going to get back to the notes, so that was just... This is evidently what we're talking about tonight. Yes. Moving on from the problems of the past. So I was thinking, one of the examples I was going to use in this very nice and ordered outline that we are completely ignoring tonight was the story of John Newton. And you may not know him or his story, but you know a song he wrote called Amazing Grace. And this guy used to be in the slave trade. He served on ships that were slave ships. And in fact, he made enemies of the crew of one of the ships he was serving on. And so they left him in, I'm going to say Sierra Leone, because you guys wouldn't know if it was that or Ivory Coast. And so we're going to go with Sierra Leone. And just don't look it up in Wikipedia, because if I'm wrong. But he was sold into slavery. And he didn't like it very much, and he got rescued. And on his way back from being rescued from slavery, his father actually sent someone to go find him and get him back, and that guy did. But on the way back, they encountered a storm at sea. And in that storm, evidently, he had this conversion experience. And it was some time later that he started to actively, he became a cleric, I think, for the Church of England, and he started to become an abolitionist. But it took a while between his freedom from slavery, literal slavery, to his becoming an opponent of slavery for everyone. It took a while between his conversion to Christ, to Christianity, and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died to free us and to save us. It took a while from that moment into where he started to apply that to everybody. And we need to be careful as we walk in liberty not to be eager to slap chains on somebody else, right? We need to, first and foremost, we need to learn how to live in that liberty. But then we have to be careful to help others walk in that same liberty. And that means when you're talking to your buddy and they start reminding you of that really nasty thing somebody said in 1962, you can say, you know what? We're not going to go there. We've been set free, and we're living in the freedom that Christ has given us, right? And you can give them that same pep talk that you give yourself, and they're going to feel stupid, and they're going to go along with you, and you're going to move into the future. Sometimes you need to call out bad behavior. Not like you, bad behavior, but you can do it kindly, and you can show them the better way to manage it, right? And so this is part of what you and I have to do as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We have to live in his freedom, and then we have to help our brothers and sisters live in their freedom. And then we must proclaim that freedom to the world around us. We spend a lot of time in our own little bubble. And we want to reach the lost, but we're not going to be effective in reaching the lost until we walk in the freedom that God has given us. Until we start walking worthy of the calling which he's called us. And so as we go along, and I think I'm just going to wrap this up, we need to understand that we have an obligation as children of God, as joint heirs with him, to move beyond the pettiness of these spiritual and historical chains and move forward into the newness of life and the liberty he's given us. We need to bring our brothers and sisters along with us, and we need to proclaim it to the world at large. And when we live as he has called us to live, and as we help those around us to live as he has called them to live, then our light will shine brighter than ever in this dark world. And we can start telling other people, you know what? I used to have that very same chain around my neck. I used to be stuck in those very same bonds. But Jesus delivered me. And I'll tell you and I'll show you how you can let him free you from those chains. And when we do that, we will start to see the harvest that God has there for us. I'll close with this out of Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14, where Paul writes, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Yeah. Liberty is not an occasion to do what you want. It's the freedom to help other people. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we celebrate our freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. But what we are learning here is that it's not just for our benefit. It's also meant to be used to serve others. And in doing so, we reflect the Lord's love in and through us, and we draw others to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand? I so appreciate you all coming out for tonight's service. Sister Chris, will you pray God's blessing for us in dismissal, please?